Our scripture text today is John 8, 31 to 36. John 8, 31 to 36. And I've changed my title to Freedom from Enslaving Sin. Freedom from Enslaving Sin. And this is the Word of God. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will be free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your holy word. We pray that you might apply it to our own hearts and lives, that we might be free in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, freedom is a word that has a variety of meanings to different people. To many, it refers to human rights, such as the four freedoms Franklin Roosevelt spoke on in January 6, 1941. Freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. Freedom of every person to worship God in his own way. Freedom from want and freedom from fear. Now, for some, to live free is to live under law, that rather than in a chaotic society run by anarchists. For others, with a rebellious spirit, to be free is to live without law. A dominant idea in American culture about freedom is to be free from unjust oppression. As we see inscripted on the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." But it is important that we distinguish two types of freedom: freedom from external restraint and freedom from inward bondage. Now, usually we think of freedom in the first sense. Everyone wants to be master of his fate and captain of his soul. He gets anxious and rebellious when under restraint and wants to break the yoke of oppression. He wants to rule and not be ruled, to have self-determination. And thus we have patriotic hymns saying, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty." However, in the New Testament, we have no such direct call to political freedom. The believers in Jesus' day were under political domination, even oppression, by the Romans. They could not vote, have freedom of speech, and have trial by jury. About half the population was enslaved. Yet, Paul wrote to believing slaves, "Were you a slave when called?" That is, called to faith in Christ. "Do not be concerned about it, but if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity." Now, why was this not a major concern for Paul and Jesus? Because by being in Christ, we are the Lord's free men. Compare Paul, the prisoner, with Nero, the emperor. Which of these was the more truly free? The apostle in prison with a soul set free from the bonds of sin, or the emperor on his throne, the slave of every evil passion? Charles Kingsley said, "There are two freedoms, the false, where a man is free to do what he likes, the true, where a man is free to do what he ought." Now, it's clear in the New Testament that the deeper need for deliverance and freedom from inward bondage is our greatest need. This is what Jesus promised to those who continue in his word. Only such freedom is real and sufficient for our needs. In the Bible, we see Jesus spoke very pointedly about freedom, saying, "The truth will set you free. And so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now, Jesus claimed to set people free. Now, what did he mean by it? First, freedom is to be set free from ignorance of spiritual things. And second, it is to be set free from sin. The means for obtaining this freedom is found only through Christ. It is through the truth found in him and through the salvation he freely provided for us at the cross of Calvary. Now, some of the Jews, as they heard Jesus' teaching, they did come to believe in him. However, for many of them, it was really only an outward profession of belief. It was just an intellectual belief without a heart commitment. Yes, they believed the words Jesus said. They believed that he was not just an ordinary man, and they saw the miracles that he did, but they hadn't made an allegiance to him. They hadn't given their life to devoted to him, to serving him, and being under his lordship. And that's the state, actually, you might say, of the majority of Americans. It's like over 90% of Americans will say they believe in a personal God. Many say they believe in Jesus Christ, but there's no commitment there. There's no change in their life. There's no power of God in their life, no sign of repentance, and no changed life. And so it's just an intellectual assent, but no heart commitment. And so Jesus is speaking now to these Jews who believed, but yet it wasn't a heart commitment belief. And so they needed to be set free. So he knew their hearts, and so he urged them to remain, to continue, or to abide in his word. Jesus' word means the entirety of his teaching. So to abide in his word means that they were to believe and obey what he taught them. Now, this is what it means to have real faith. To abide in Jesus' word is to put oneself into subjection to his lordship. To abide in Jesus' word produces a growing discipleship. Following initial belief in Jesus' discipleship is a lifelong process of growing in faith and obedience to him. By recognizing this truth, we become liberated from the bondage to sin. Now, through a process that theologians call sanctification, we become more and more holy, conformed to the image of Christ. So sanctification is putting off of our old self and our sinful life and being set free to serve God and live for him and living a holy life. And so we become more and more like Jesus Christ. So Jesus went on to say, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, truth is associated with the very person of Christ. In John's prologue, he says, "Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus made the claim, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So knowledge of the truth means one is a disciple of Jesus. Jesus communicates to his disciples what is essentially part of himself, that is, truth. Now, the truth spoken of here is not facts that dispel ignorance in science and philosophy and engineering or some other field of study. Rather, it is the truth bound with the person and work of Christ. It is saving truth. It is the truth which saves us from the depravity of our sin. Jesus saw his ministry as fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." Now, most people do not realize that they are in bondage. They think they have some special place or privilege. The Jews thought that they were protected from bondage by being sons of Abraham. The unbelieving Jews gave an incredible response to Jesus, having been offended upon hearing that they needed to be liberated. "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." Now, they were thinking in a purely external sense of some kind of a political bondage and that they had not been enslaved to anybody in that sense. However, even though they make this claim, there's really no basis for it. Much of Israel's history, the descendants of Abraham were enslaved, such as their enslavement for 400 years in Egypt. After settling in Canaan, they were often dominated by the Philistines, and then by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Syrians, and at this time by the Romans. But Jesus had in mind a different kind of liberation, that of the soul set free from sin. Now, many people think that freedom is the license to do whatever a person wants, as a license to break all bonds and to enjoy life without restraint. So free thinkers accept any idea that comes down the pike with no means of evaluating its validity or truthfulness. And free livers reject all authority and the restraints of God's moral code as found in the Ten Commandments. Whatever is true for you is fine, but it's not to be the same truth for me. In other words, everything is relative. There's no one truth. However, under this way of thinking, there is no true freedom because there can be no absolute truth. It only leads to slavery and death. This is illustrated in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, who went away with his father's inheritance and spent it all on wild living to end up starving as he ate the food of the pigs that he was hired to take care of. Only in knowing the truth can we have true freedom. Consequently, we are all slaves of sin unless we have experienced the gracious intervention of God in our life. True freedom is the ability to do what is right. It takes obedience in order to have true freedom. If I was disciplined and sat down at the piano, I could at first be at liberty, really, just to play the keys as I wanted. But I don't have freedom there at the piano because I can't play anything but noise. There's no tune, no pleasant sound. So I have no freedom to play Bach or even chopsticks. Why? Because it takes years of practice and obedience and following lesson plans to be truly free at the piano. Then and only then does one have the freedom to play any piece of music. Well, the same is true of freedom in living. To be truly free, we must have the power and ability to be obedient. Now, although many have come to our country gaining relief from political tyranny, they still remain in bondage to their own passions. For some, it becomes a bondage to the idolatry of greed, to getting the almighty dollar. For others, it is addiction to sexual passions, to gambling, or to alcohol. For still others, they cannot control their temper, their filthy language, their jealousy, or their lust for power. All sin has enslaving power, both the sins of the flesh that are outwardly seen and the secret sins of the heart. Now, we frequently meet the person who is seeking the vain pursuit of life without bounds for imagined freedom. But to go beyond the bounds established by God leads to slavery and death. Just as some animal taken out of its natural habitat will die, so do we when we try to live outside of God's established order in relation to Him. So to take a fish out of water to enjoy the great freedom of the air is not really freedom, but it's sure death. God established its boundaries for life. So, too, he has established physical and moral boundaries within which we are to live, and there we'll find true freedom. Now, Jesus answered the Jews, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Many other religions make claims to bringing release or freedom from this bondage, but ultimately they have no real solution. Some demand fasting, pilgrimages, demanding tasks, inflicted pain, or deprivation. They always depend upon our own efforts, which are futile. They make the demand of the law for being good, but do not offer the inner change necessary to make it possible, nor the power to do so. Peter warns us that false prophets and false teachers promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Now Satan seeks to keep us in this slavery to sin. We must make a choice. As Bob Dylan sang, you've got to serve someone. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve someone. Now, but being in bondage, we are not free to will and to work good as we know we ought to do. Humanity lost it when Adam fell in a right relationship with God by deciding he wanted to be like God himself. Ever since then, all of humanity has been born with a depraved heart that is enslaved to sin. This does not mean that there is no good in us. Yes, there are many good things about us, and we're still made in the image of God. But our minds and hearts are perverted such that we cannot please God. Our wills are enslaved by sin. And Paul explains this, saying, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now Jesus answered the Jews who held to their own self-righteousness. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Now Jesus is making a very important point as he calls our attention to it by introducing it and saying, truly, truly. Since everyone is a sinner, then we are all slaves to sin. Jesus is talking about sin's power to control us. Although we may try, we cannot live without sinning in thought, word, and deed. The Jews thought that because they were descendants of Abraham, that they were safely within the family of God. However, they were not, because they had not believed in his son. Soon even Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, and the Jews scattered. Only those who abide in Jesus' word will be true sons. A son will not be sold and moved to another place as a slave may be. A son is the inheritor of his father's property, and his rights cannot be taken away. But a slave has no security and can lose his privileges at any time. But we may become a son of God with assured rights as his child for eternity. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith, Paul writes to the Galatians. And so, as God's child, we are free with all the rights and privileges of being joint heirs with Jesus Christ for eternity. But we are helpless to save ourselves. Our only hope is in the intervention of God. As Paul went on to exclaim, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now this freedom is provided for us by God the Father sending Jesus Christ to come in the flesh and to live like us, yet without sin. He took upon himself our sin at the cross and suffered the punishment that we deserve. And through his death and resurrection, we are set free from our bondage to sin when we look by faith to Jesus as our Redeemer. And this is the freedom we are promised by Jesus in the light of his truth if we continue in his word. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Call upon him. Claim God's promises by faith to be free from whatever besetting sin is controlling your life. And John opens the book of Revelation with a doxology of praise to Jesus, saying, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Now this is a major theme throughout the scriptures. God applies the work of Christ to us through His Spirit, in which He applies that blood of Christ, cleansing us from all sin. So now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It is tragic to think that many misinterpret the Christian faith to be a stricter law, a curbing of human liberty, an imposition of restrictions. But in actual fact, it is a breaking of bonds, deliverance, and redemption. Just as prophesied by Isaiah and quoted by Jesus as being fulfilled in Him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, the fulfillment of this liberation is a testimony of millions of people who have experienced it in their own lives. Many have been delivered from addictions and bad habits that had control over them. Innumerable people have been given a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of suffering, trouble, and loss. They give up bitterness and anger and are free to love even their enemies. True disciples of Jesus are set free from ignorance of God's spiritual truth and from the power of sin, from ourselves, and from Satan. Once we have been set free from sin by Christ, we are no longer live under its bondage. Paul wrote the Romans, "We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." He further exclaims to the Galatians, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Peter teaches us the same idea. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So now that we have been set free, we are free to obey God and live for Him. We can now forsake the deeds of our sinful nature and produce the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we have this growing in us. We see that we have entered into the freedom that Christ offers us, and that we have been set free from the bondage of sin that was formerly controlling us. So now we are actually free to love our neighbor as ourselves in obedience to our Lord. And this brings glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and the promises we have, claiming through Jesus Christ that we can enter that glorious freedom that He offers, the freedom of Your truth and knowing the truth, of leaving our ignorance to spiritual truth and knowing Christ Jesus, and now knowing the truth that we find in Christ, and that in that truth we see that we can be set free from the bondage of our sin, and that we can be made new people, renewed and made a new creation in Christ, and that we have the power of the Holy Spirit now to aid us, to enable us to live a godly life, to have freedom to do what we ought to do and want to do, because we have a changed nature and one that wants to please God. And we are not bound in the chains of sin any longer. And so we praise You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.